It would be hard to explain Dale to you. What I did in our gap group was I said, well, my name means valley. Over hill, over... I remember when I was very young, I said, why did you name me Dale? Now, I'm pretty sure I had both my parents there, and I don't even remember which one answered. But in the conversation, they told me, and you have to remember, this is decades ago, so this is it was a different vocabulary. I'm just going to quote what they told me. Well, I think it must have been my mother, because she said, your father... had someone who worked at work, and he had a son, and his name was Dale, and he was mentally retarded. Sometimes I wonder what damage I do to my children by some of the things that I say. My story is that God got a hold of me. I've been a Christian for decades, and I was always a good boy, and I was always a good Christian, and I knew my way through the church halls. But it wasn't until 1996 where the Holy Spirit actually lit a fire. And when he lit that fire, I just couldn't put the word of God down, and I said... I guess it had to be before 1996, didn't it? So the fire was lit in 96, but before that I was looking into Scripture, and I said, I'm going to give my children names that have an anointing on them. So all of my children have names that have an anointing on them. It was a heritage I wanted to pass on to my children, because I love my children. I have to tell two stories before I really get to our first point, but you just have to understand some things about me. So my brother was 2 years younger than I was, and I don't know, but I would say right now that I would have called him a mama's boy. Now, I don't say that in any other way except for that for some reason he always had favor with my mother. Oh, he would bake cookies with her, and she was so happy when he was around her. And I'm just thinking, there's something wrong about it. I'm the oldest. I still remember sitting on a couch, side by side with I was on one side of my mom, and my brother was on the other side. I wasn't in first grade yet, so I might have been in kindergarten, but so I wasn't older than five. And my little brother, the sneaky little guy that he was, he'd start pulling the book over, you know, like looking at it. And I was getting a little upset, you know, because, and then he was cuddling in with mom, you know, giving her a hug. And she was leaning the book a little bit that way. And I got a little feisty. So I grabbed the book, and my mom sent me to my room. But I outdid her. Because I ran away. But I was really smart because I said, Mom, I'm running away. And she said, okay. Here's a duffel bag. I'll give you an apple, a sandwich. Go ahead. Now that really made me mad. So I took that duffel bag and I went in the basement. And in our basement had stairways that went into the house, but it also had a stairway that went outside. And I still remember sitting in the stairway, sitting outside, looking at the door, sitting on the little ledge. And I don't know how long it was. When you're a kid, it seems like forever. But I did hear my mom go, "Dale, Dale." I just thought, I'm gonna take care of this one. So I snuck out, and I started walking to my grandmother's house. Now the good thing about this was I had two grandmothers, and they both lived in the same direction. So I could really start out without deciding which one I was going to go to. But after, when you go about a half a mile, you have to decide, I'm either going to get on this road, Green Bay Road, or I'm going to get on 57. So I said, well, I think I'll go to the grandmother who has all the sweets. So I started heading to Cedarburg, Wisconsin. And I'm probably halfway there, and here comes this car, and it pulls over. It's got a bunch of old ladies in it. And I thought, well, what can old ladies do? Hey, Sonny, where do you want to go? I'm going that way. Okay, why don't you get in? So I got in the car, and I said, go that way, and they turned around and went that way. Well, I'm getting a little scared now because everything was going my way until this point. And then I saw what was happening. They said, okay, we're getting out, because they were at the police station. So they park across from the police station, and they said, come on, Sonny, we need to go to talk to somebody. And I still remember we sat there and waited for the light. There are only like three stoplights in Thiensville, Wisconsin. So we were at the one of them, and it turned green. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? And we're walking across the street, and wouldn't you know, this little red bug comes from the other direction and comes right up to the stoplight. And that little red bug had my dad in it. Now, I knew that even though I was only five, I could outrun these ladies. So I took off, and I jumped in the car. Now, what do you think happened to me when I got home? So if you can imagine this being a dining room table, as soon as that car stopped, and my dad had a few words to say to me, as soon as the car stopped in the garage, I ran, and I ran in the dining room, and this is pretty much what happened. I got on the other side of the table. I knew that if I went into any room, I was cooked, and my dad came in, and he took off his belt, and I knew I was in trouble, and here's my mom going, Dennis, Dennis, no, and I'm... Now, I thought I was pretty smart, you know, because I did that for, I don't know, maybe a minute, maybe two. It seemed like I was dodging him for like a half an hour. But, and then he said, I got to go to work, and my dad left. But I still never forgot how angry my father was at me. And how the whole day started because I was just plain and simply being misunderstood. I just wanted love. I just wanted love. And praise God. Now I have to tell you this other story, and then it will help with the meat of what's going on. So every Saturday, we had two jobs that we had to do. In summer, we had to mow the lawn and do all the bushes. But all year round, we had to dust. Every Saturday, we had to dust the house. And my brother and I, we had different rooms that we had to dust. And I had to dust the living room. And I began to figure out that my brother, you know, mama's boy, you know, that he figured out that if he just moved the furniture, he didn't have to dust. Now, if my mom told me to dust, I dusted, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? And I got a little upset that he was getting away with not dusting just by moving the furniture. So I said, I'm going to outdo my brother, and I'm going to find out if my mom really loves me. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to move all the furniture and do the best dusting job I could ever do. And then I'm going to put all the furniture back in the exact same spot that it was before. So I did it. I spent more time dusting that day than I'd ever spent. Put the furniture right, and there was carpeting in the living room. So I made sure every single little leg was in the right spot. And wouldn't you know it, my mom came home. What do you think she said? Dale, you did the best dusting job you ever did. No. Why didn't you dust? Now, I didn't know what I was doing to myself. And it wasn't until probably within the last couple of years that I finally figured out what was going on inside of Dale. He really just wanted to be loved for him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I wanted to begin with those stories because I wanted to make a point. You cannot miss this point. When Jesus began talking to his disciples, the very first thing that he says is, you come to God by saying, Our Father. Father. Just saying Our Father says that God has already been doing something inside you to look up and to receive in a relationship. See, this is about a relationship. For decades, for centuries before Jesus came on the scene, there were prayers. And guess what? As the Christian church created its own little devices, we said the Lord's Prayer. And we've said many prayers. But if we miss the Our Father, we miss the essence of the prayer. Because the essence of the prayer is about relationship. And that relationship says, I love you for who I created you to be, not anybody else. You have a DNA that comes from me, and I desire a relationship with you. And that's where it begins. Now, I memorized the Lord's Prayer in two different contexts, both of them Christian. Now, my first context was in the Lutheran church. I had to memorize it as part of the catechism, or I couldn't be confirmed. That means I couldn't have communion. And when we said the Lord's Prayer, which we said almost every single Sunday, it was something you do to bring things like out of heaven. You know, it's like, okay, well, God somehow will honor this prayer because it's the Lord's Prayer. So what can I get? And the second thing I learned was, okay, well, maybe that wasn't quite so right. That was pretty religious. So then I learned the Lord's Prayer as theology. Because if you learn it, then it's God's will. It's something you can put in and say it's God's will. And therefore, if you say God's will, then it's right. You get what I'm saying. I want to change your paradigm tonight. I want to tell you that in the Lord's Prayer, we have something that is robust. And John already said it today. Everything in the Lord's Prayer is every dynamic of prayer that we ever need to know or use or understand. The Lord's Prayer pattern. Now, there are a couple things that, and they're right here in your book, there's a couple things that are just important about this. First of all, why is the Lord's Prayer like this? Well, first of all, it's the only prayer that's a teaching that Jesus gave. And John mentioned before that it was given twice. The disciples kind of had to understand it. There aren't anything, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. Now, I said this statement, and I want you to just meditate on this for a moment. Okay, so I talked about Peter. Okay, guys, who do all of these people say that I am? Okay, you're Elijah, right? Some say you're a prophet. But who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter? You are a pebble, okay? But upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. But he says, it's the Father. It's the Father who has revealed this to you. What comes from saying our Father comes revelation. It is the beginning of, it is the beginning of understanding what prayer is. This is where it starts. And I thought for years that prayer was something that certain people had, and I didn't like praying. So therefore, I didn't have the gift of prayer. I want to tell you right now that, as John has said, today, okay, the seeds have already been planted. You have. And it begins with your Father. It begins with your Father. I want to press into this understanding of the Father, because we all have different understandings of what our Father has done or who our Father is. Okay, so in this next, how many minutes? 10 minutes or so. I want you to think about your Father. You can think about good things about your Father. You can think about bad things about your Father. I want you to think about how your Father treated you. Now, I have a relationship. I have 4 children. 3 of them are girls, and they're all teenagers right now. Okay? John talks about his girls, and he's got one on the way, and he smiles. And in about, John, in about, 10, 11 years or so, 14 years or so, you're going to be smiling, but it's going to mean something a lot different. So I have a relationship with my girls, and there are times when they just look at me and they get so mad at me. Because you know what? I'm the father. I had to set down rules. You know, don't do this. You can't do that. I have a 24-hour rule. If you want to stay over at somebody's house, you have to tell me 24 hours in advance. They don't like that. But so one of my daughters, she just looked at me very recently and just said, "You have always hated me." Everything I do, you disapprove of. And I just cry. Because I try to be everything that my father wasn't for me. And in my heart it just aches, because I want to love my daughter with all of my being, and I don't know how to do it. And I try to give guidance where guidance is needed, and I try to say I love you when I love you is needed, and I always find myself failing. And I don't say that to deprecate myself. I just say that this is the struggle of a father who's not the father. Because your Father in heaven, He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you've ever thought. He knows everything that you can do and couldn't do. And He loves you for you. He created you. And when you say our Father, you are beginning with a God who understands and has done everything for you. Our Father, who art in heaven. So we start in the Lord's Prayer with relationship. I spent a lot of time on this because my prayer life is being transformed. I have been praying over this message. You see, whatever you thought prayer was, God is going to transform it. And this is where it starts. You have a Father who has said, I have not left you as an orphan, but I have adopted you as a son, as a child of the living God. And guess what? He doesn't just write a part of his will in for you. Oh, will you get this at the end? He gives you everything. You are His. Our Father. So the Lord's Prayer begins with relationship. Now, you have to pardon me. I'm very nervous. And the very first time I've been on an SLT in Philadelphia, very, very first module we did, we were launching the campus. I did not speak, but Jim Rudd, who's the president of the campus, spoke. And I still remember Jim coming up after me. He goes, well, I talked to Fred. And Fred said, well, good talk, but you didn't do it the way the book says. Okay, so in my nervousness, let me not miss this. It's the only prayer pattern that Jesus gave. And secondly, it's concise and strategic. It's powerful. You see that? Everything is in it. And it's memorizable. My youngest daughter has memorized it. You can too. You probably have. And when we pray this, this isn't just the words from Scripture that you're memorizing. This is the active words from Jesus Himself that He gave to the disciples to unlock heaven. Okay, so our first part of the Lord's Prayer is relationship. You begin with relationship. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. And He is our Father in heaven. We were created in heaven, and we're destined to be with Him in heaven. He is our Father in heaven. Our riches are riches from heaven. Our Father. Well, the second thing is worship. Now, isn't it interesting? Because if we would have created a prayer in our churches, we would say, well, you got to start with worship. That's where you start, with worship. You better declare Him to be holy. So we don't minimize that He is holy. But God wants to know, He wants you to know that this is about a relationship. And now you can, in that relationship, declare Him to be holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Praise God. He is holy. He's the Almighty. He's the creator of all things, invisible and visible. Every throne, invisible or visible. Every power, every authority, every creature, extinct or living. It has the biology, the DNA of our living God. John and I were just talking before, and when you come to a prayer summit like this, you sense waves, and we talk kind of about, okay, really the most important thing is just to give yourself to the Lord. This isn't about following directives. What I was hearing in my ear was that there were kind of words being spoken in your ear. Well, don't follow that because you're being controlled. This isn't about us trying to control you. This is about getting us to the point where we are free to listen to the word of God, the whisper of God, whispering, because he speaks in a quiet whisper or an earthquake. He is the great God, and he's holy, and he is righteous, and he is separate from everything that we see on earth. He is to be hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. All true prayer responds to the revelation of the glory of God's name. So John and I were talking. How do we kind of have a breakthrough before? It's declaring his name. It's why we do it at all the College of Prayer events. Because when you start declaring his name, you're declaring his worth. And you're recognizing him for who he is. Hallowed be thy name. Well, the next part, so the first part is relationship. The second part is worship. Now, this third part, I love this, because this is lordship. And you can't understand lordship unless you understand that there is an active kingdom right now. An active kingdom right now. That is beyond what we see when we see governments and powers and presidents and dictators. It is an active kingdom which is administering the righteousness and the holiness of God for the kingdom of heaven and for the kingdom of earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this will thing. I was a good Baptist. So I told you that I grew up in the Lutheran church and was confirmed. I was. And then I came to Christ. And I don't... I said that wrong, didn't I? God brought me to himself as a Lutheran. My father was saved, and then we went to a Baptist church. And in the Baptist church, we learned that everything is about, anything about prayer is God's will. Now, the problem that I had there wasn't that I knew that I needed to pray God's will, but you had to get your list of God's will down. If I didn't see it, or if I didn't memorize it, then I had to find it. And you're continually trying to unearth these things. And okay, well, am I handling this will right? Now, the things I was looking at was correct. They were. You're not feeling bad here because I said Baptist. No. Okay. The things that I was looking at was correct. These were things that were God's will. I was reading about things that God was doing as his will. But I had the wrong understanding. You see, what I was reading is activity that's going on in heaven. It didn't happen on earth unless it happened in heaven. When God loosed it as his will to come to earth, he's just revealing it through his son, and then we see it. I was just trying to memorize it and say, okay, well, it must be his will because it's in God's word, right? But his word is alive, and it's Jesus Christ. So that's why we came this before and saying, listen, Jesus, reveal yourself. Father, reveal the Son. Now, I want to just spend a moment. Oh, man, I've talked way too. You knew that this was going to go long. In Matthew 16, this passage of scripture I brought out before. So it brings out the Father, And this is what Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, did those keys go away when Peter died? The revelation of the Father to reveal Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And then it's an interesting statement. It comes right after that. So whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. You see, what is going on in heaven, the Lord wants to use us to bind and loose it on earth. This is powerful. This is active. This is real time. This isn't memory. These are things that are flowing from heaven. Open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. It's just symbolic, but heaven is there and God wants to speak. He's got keys into heaven. And it's not for when you die and they bury you, right? Nah, I won't do that. Heaven is not stopping. Heaven will be there for eternity. Do you pant for it? Okay. Your kingdom come. 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 When? Now. When? Tomorrow. When? Future. This is completely, there is no time frame here. It's start now and go. This is a loosing completely of heaven to earth for you, for the people of God, for the people of earth. So, relationship, worship, lordship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then isn't it interesting that, do you have any sins you need to be forgiven? Should we have a confession right now? Isn't it interesting that Jesus puts, give us this day our daily bread first, before taking care of your sins? Can you imagine that? A God who would say you need bread first. Now, I'm not really sure what to think about that 13-year-old Dale who moved the furniture trying to trick his mother. But there was something in there that desired just simply, do my parents love me? And do they know me? Do they know me? The me who would do the best job ever to dust all the molding and the windows. And are they going to take care of me? Give us this day our daily bread. Now this is powerful. Because we always think, okay, we get in trouble and we say, okay, God, you're not taking care of us. I don't have enough money to get, my bank account doesn't have enough money to get through the next week. Okay, God, you must have failed somewhere. Don't we think that? Oh, bread. Oh, you know what? I know how to get bread. I work for an hour, then I go to Wegmans and I get a loaf, or I can go to the bread store and get three loaves. We've got to figure it out. Oh, but it's Saturday and the bread store is not going to have much left, so I better go to Wegmans and just get one loaf. So we figure out what we think our daily bread is. We miss the fact that our God says he's a God of provision. This statement speaks to his provision. Are you trusting in his provision? He's daddy. He says, whatever you need, I provided. Whether it's a jacket or a coat or food or friends or ministry to your mind that's saying you're worthless. I provided it all, every bit, every part, because I created you. And I will feed you. I will take care of you. So don't miss the fact that this is about provision. When you say, give us this day our daily bread, this isn't a point where you can contend with God. This is a point where you can trust in God. And then, forgive us our trespasses. And I'm sorry, John, I know they use debts, but I love trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses, because we trespass all the time. I love the word. We trespass on other people's feelings, on other people's territory. We trespass on our children. We trespass on our parents. We trespass on our family. We trespass on our spouses. We trespass all the time. We trespass on our schools. We trespass on our community. How many times have you gone through a stop sign or a stoplight this last week? Don't raise your hand. We trespass all the time. So this is receiving, to be able to receive from the Father forgiveness. This is deep and rich. This isn't just what you can remember. This is all the things you can't remember. He provides it. Now, in your book, this will say that this is the area of sonship. And I have heard John do this talk, but I don't remember this part of it. I have heard Fred do this talk, and he'll say that, so this part is sonship, right? And the next part is, as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? So that's the area of fellowship. But I just want to deepen this a little bit. When you say our Father, you're saying, I trust in your love. And your love provides provision and forgiveness. But most importantly, it provides a blowing through you that forgives others. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, if you don't forgive, then you've totally missed the boat. You haven't received forgiveness. So I want you to think about this. If you want to receive forgiveness and you do receive forgiveness, you will forgive. It's like breathing in, out, out. It'll be your nature and it'll be your blessing. It'll be your nature and it'll be your blessing. So sonship, we're children. We're children that God provides for us. He forgives us. And then he provides this breathing for relationship with each other. And it is the only way we can make relationships. And honestly, people, we have learned really well in America. I've never lived anywhere else, so I got to talk about America. And if you want me to talk about states, I'll talk about states. Pennsylvania, California, Wisconsin, and West Virginia. I've lived in all four. Okay, so we create walls. Okay, Kyle can have a relationship with me, but I'm never going to talk to him about politics. Holger can have a relationship with me, but heaven forbid that we ever talk about his children. John can have a relationship with me, but I'm never going to work side by side with him in the church and paint a wall, because I've done that before and it didn't work. You get it? We create these walls because we have, oh, well, that person's like that, that person's like this. And we shut up forgiveness. We shut it out. And I can tell you right now that if you aren't forgiving, you haven't received forgiveness. Sonship and fellowship. And then I have two last ones, which I'll go over real quickly. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Now, why did Jesus put this in the Lord's Prayer? And lead us not into temptation. This, to me, is like the prayer that I learned when I was a kid to go to bed. Those of you in my church, you've heard this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I still remember as a second grader with my eyes open looking at the ceiling going, I better not go to sleep because if I die, I've got this prayer that says, Lord, please. I don't know, but please. Can you imagine? God is not a God who tempts you. God is not a God who tempts you. Lead us not into temptation. He is not going to lead you into temptation. So why is he saying this? So that you can have doubts like I did with my prayer? No. No. What is Jesus saying? You have a God who's purely on your side. You have a Father who's purely about ministering and health to your life and the things that are not of him. No condemnation here. Just a pant. It's a pant for God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's how I learned it. Okay. But if you look at the Greek and if you go to seminary like I did, they will tell you that really there is no evil. Like, what is the evil? Okay. So we really kind of learned it wrong. It is the evil one. There's only one thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy you. There's only one enemy. He has allegiance, but there's only one. Let's point our finger at him, okay? He is the one who's after you. And he is the one who you are delivered from. Deliver us from the evil one. So what do we have? We have leadership from God that leads us in a place that releases us from the two evils. You see, the one side is temptation. So we have this battle that's fighting within us. And then we have the one from the outside. It's very obvious, right? So we've got the battle on the inside and we've got a battle on the outside. And God says, I'm there for you. I'm there for you. I will never tempt you. In fact, if you are tempted, it's not me, I will find a way for relief, release, freedom. That's me. Father, your Father. And lastly, ownership. And you'll see there's a little blurb. So we don't find this. You know, this has obviously been in the church for years. But I wholeheartedly say that Jesus probably did say this. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You see, Christ has ownership and we need to recognize it. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. So what I'd like to do right now, Patrick, if you'd come up. I want to go back to these first three. Our Father relationship. I want us to press in. I really want us to press in on this. If we don't understand the fatherhood of God, if we have pictures of our own Father that's wrong, then we're going to miss the power of this prayer and what it's teaching. This is about relationship. This isn't about making you feel good. This is about bringing health to everything you are. And then worship. Hallowed be thy name. And then lordship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So what I'd like you just to do right now, I've got three people leading us here. And so if you could just press forward, would you just come forward? If you feel the Lord saying, yeah, you know what? I don't know what it is about the Lord's prayer, but I know that you there's something that touched me inside of what you talked about, and it's there's a frequency that's going on. There's a string that's moving inside of me. And it starts with our Father, relationship. It moves to worship, and then it moves to lordship. And that's what I'd like to do right now. So if you feel that, would you please come forward? I'm going to have Cal lead us. And so we're going to begin just by pressing in, declaring God to be Father. And so make declarations. And the things that you were sensing inside, my Father has let me down here. You have a Father who hasn't let you down. So declare those things. So if we could just do that, make room right now. We're just gonna wave this, okay? We're just gonna wave this. So John Butler is gonna lead us in worship. Hallowed be thy name. When we feel that we've declared our Father to be our Father. And then we'll move, and Diana Herod is going to lead us in lordship declarations. So if I could just have you come forward.
Lord in heaven, and I want us to open that door, to press into that right now. So as God gives you prayer on our Father who art in heaven, on relationship, declaring Him as Father, receiving His love, as God gives you prayer, pray those out now for us. Go ahead. Some of you have a prayer specifically on that part of the Lord's Prayer pattern. Relationship, our Father who art in heaven. Yes, Lord. That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you declared we will not be left alone as orphans. We have a daddy who opens his arms, and Father, we thank you that every day, every moment, your arms are open. Thank you, Lord.
As we were singing, I didn't want to miss this. I just had a sense that there was an infiltration. So you heard John make some very declarative things. You have no place here. You have no authority here. Get out. But there are things that we do that let the enemy in. And I just felt that we needed to acknowledge that. So I'm going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer pattern. By the way, I'm not talking yet. Okay? So don't record me, sorry.